Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Royal Watcher podcast. Today, Sam and I are joined by our frequent friend, Jacob, and we're going to discuss the very shocking news that Queen Margrethe II of Denmark is abdicating the throne after 52 years.
Yeah, this might be like an emergency episode, like emergency podcast.
Yeah, like we were just discussing with Jacob, it's been quite a big shock because this is something that I don't think any of us saw coming.
No, and I'll tell you what, shout outs to the Danish royal household for not letting a thing slip about this. Definitely.
That's one household that does not leak.
No.
No, and I think there are a few other courts that should take notes.
Oh, and didn't the Swedish know as well, and they didn't say anything?
Yes, apparently the other two Scandinavian courts knew about it, which doesn't surprise me. But nothing.
Yeah, not a whisper.
No sources. No anonymous sources.
No.
I think Sam, let's move on from our next slide, where we set the setting that last night Queen Margrethe gave her annual New Year's speech, and at the end of it, she just slipped in the words that I've decided that now's the right time on 14th January 2024, 52 years after succeeding my beloved father, I will step down as Queen of Denmark. I leave the throne to my son, Crown Prince Frederick. Like a big shock. Because she does this New Year's speech every year. And there's been recent compilations of her, kind of her, the last bit of the speech, which I believe translates to God Save Denmark, but I will not try the Danish pronunciation. But it's very kind of a point, something that she does. It's a very personal thing. She does a speech, but to have this announcement as a shock in it, I thought was quite a big like announcement.
I never believe, in spite of, you know, us, it's been an issue from every now and then. I've never thought that she would abdicate. But I've always believed that if she would abdicate, she would announce it in her New Year's speech.
Okay.
That's interesting. Actually, you have a good point.
Yes, because everybody's watching. I think it's either a third or a fourth of the Danish population are watching.
Wow.
And it's transmitted live. And I heard in a podcast today that one thing was different this year from other years, and that's they usually send out the speech in advance, a few hours in advance to the television companies, so that they can make the subtitles in advance, but they didn't yesterday. So she really wanted to keep it a secret until she said it, which is very impressive.
Very, especially in today's day and age when everything gets leaked, that there is not even the slightest indication that this news may be coming.
No, it's very impressive.
Very. And this is kind of, I think, one of those, the only time of the year when she directly has like this chance to address the Danish people. So it does really make sense that she was able to highlight, actually before this part, she talked a lot about social issues and contemporary kind of challenges that the world is facing. And to put this at the end, and as almost a bit of an, it was the most shocking news, but to do it this way, she really, I think, made the message come across as almost a bit casually slipping it in, but it did have the biggest impact.
She said she was, when she started talking about thanking the people and thanking everyone, and then she started speaking about how the years were passing by and her surgery, And then I felt that something was coming. But I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
Yes, definitely. And I think one of the most kind of surprising things for me is that since the speech and whatever she revealed in that, there has been very little that's been announced. There's been no mention of kind of the finer details of how the handover is going to happen. They just talked about the big stuff. There's been a couple of smaller bits released that she'll continue to use the title of Her Majesty and stuff like that. But there's no kind of well-detailed kind of itinerary for the next couple of weeks that's been released. So people are still very much speculating what's going to happen.
But you have to remember that today is a holiday.
Yes.
Even though it's the biggest day in the Danish royal year, it's still a holiday. So I think we will get more information next week, during the week, maybe, or...
She says she's going to do it on the 14th. She hasn't given us a lot of notice.
No.
Yeah, I've seen lots of people saying that the Queen of Denmark has given Denmark a 2-week notice that she's leaving.
Her notice period's shorter than mine.
But yeah, it's a good date to abdicate. It's as if she's going full circle.
Though I like the kind of sentimental part of it, but from a practical point of view, her jubilees were always in like the colder months.
Yes.
And Frederick's jubilees will now also be in the colder months as well. So
yes.
If you could have chosen a date, maybe choose some time with better weather.
Mm. And also, the thing about going full circle, Queen Beatrix also abdicated on the same day that she had ascended the throne when her mother abdicated. So the abdicating queen seems to like having a set date.
And I think that is very much on purpose, because in their most recently released kind of information, that is what they've written about, is that Queen Beatrix is the example that she's using and how the Dutch have been doing this for a long time, much more than any other houses. And I found that kind of information so much kind of that she was looking at them as a model for doing this kind of step and how well that has worked for them.
Yes.
And I think now, Sam, we can move on to the next slide and talk about the ceremony itself, because when Queen Margrethe came to the throne, it was pretty sudden. Her father had fallen ill after the New Year's reception. And then in the middle of January...
He fell ill after his New Year's speech.
Yes.
So I don't think he even made the New Year's levy the day after.
Apparently, yeah. I remember hearing that he got cold in the carriage. But I can't
Okay.
So probably he did one of them, but maybe not the other. But it was very kind of sudden for Queen Margrethe, who came to the throne at the age of 32. She was a mother of 2 young children. And the accession ceremony happened. There was a council of state at Christiansborg Palace. And then in the next slide, we will see the prime minister announced the proclamation from the balcony of the palace to the people. He turned in 3 directions and announced that King Christian IX is dead, long live Queen Margrethe II. It's quite a moving ceremony. And I think as far as this sort of thing goes, it's one of the simpler ones among the royal families.
But you know, it's going to be interesting. Frederick's not going to be in mourning.
No.
Yeah.
And they can't do the queen is dead, long live the king thing.
They have to
make something up. And it's going to be quite interesting to see how they will do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Daisy will have a finger
She's quite theatrical, so I would think she'd plan this out. But I think if you look at these 2 visuals, you can definitely see this is a glimpse of how it's going to happen. We're going to have the king on the balcony. We're going to have the council of state. And then I expect that Mary, Prince Christian, maybe the younger children as well, will join them on the balcony at some point soon afterwards. And there should be a carriage ride back to Amalienborg.
I'm sure. And I'm maybe expecting something along the lines of the Dutch abdication, you know, where first the old, if I remember it correctly, first the old monarch goes out on the balcony together, and then the new ones
join them,
and then the children will join them, and the old monarch will leave the balcony, and then they will be joined by their children or something.
Yes. No, I think one of the things that we saw most kind of prominently and for Christian's birthday was how Queen Margrethe kept on coming and going from the balcony. And this was kind of an indication of this transition that now we can see was happening, because she really tried to give the Crown Princely family a lot more time on the balcony than just with her. So this is very interesting, and the dress code itself will be quite interesting, which I think you can move on to the next slide, and I believe it's there. Or no, actually, this is the Council of State, and this is because most recently the Council of State happened for Christian's kind of induction and becoming the regent, and this will be, I think, a view of kind of the room where this will happen and how exactly the ceremony will be kind of pictured, with Queen Margrethe signing over the documents of Prime Minister there and the heirs in front of her. And then we move on to the next slide, where I believe you'll see the dress code, which should be like this. So court dress is what we're expecting. I would hope for a tiara, because it's not necessarily a mourning occasion. So
they could pull it out.
They could do a Queen Margrethe style thing.
Yes, but. And I wonder, I'm sure that the horseshoe brooch will be included somehow, either on the queen, or maybe she will give it to her, to the new queen.
What's the significance of the horseshoe brooch?
Wasn't she given a gift from her father on the day that she, on the referendum that made her the heir?
So no, I think definitely Queen Margrethe will be wearing the horseshoe brooch. And one thing that I was kind of thinking about is, because Crown Princess Mary wears Queen Margrethe's portrait in her family order, Queen Margrethe wears her father's. And I'm kind of wondering, will they have like a transition and change to Frederick's picture in that? Like Mary will, Queen Margrethe probably will not. But I think, will they do that kind of at the time of the accession, or will they wait kind of a while for doing that?
It would be a nice touch to do it right away.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, not to throw shade at other courts, but it doesn't have to take that long to change a photo or a picture.
So in the Danish case, they usually just keep the frame and change the picture, whereas the British one, they have to get new frames made because they continue to wear the old orders as well.
Yeah, excuses.
It's been over a year, there's no excuse now.
No, exactly. But the Danes don't have the custom that they wear, you know, the old portrait. They just wear the current monarchs.
Yeah.
So I hope that
And it'd be interesting if Queen Margrethe passes on her big frame to Crown Princess Mary as queen now. Or will she kind of keep that? Because that is one of those kind of royal heirlooms. I believe that it came from Sweden, right? Her family order.
Wasn't it the Brazilian one?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yes, it belonged to Amelie of Brazil, the Empress. And then it was left to her sister, the Queen Josephina. And from her, it went to her granddaughter, Queen Louise of Denmark.
And then came I think it was Queen Ingrid who used it kind of more prominently.
Mm. Mm.
That's what Daisy remembers. But no, it's a very kind of this, and at the same time, we're talking about this, that there's going to be this handover of jewels and stuff. And I expect we'll see new official portraits. Like, I think for the Dutch and Belgians, we saw them on the day of the change. So yeah. I would expect the same thing this time as well.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, or I can't even imagine that Daisy would be one of those old queens that hogs all the jewelry instead of passing it on. I think that she has a very clear thought that these jewels are going to be worn by the queen.
Yes, and the rest is for everyone. Kind of in the recent documentaries, we've really seen that theme. So she will kind of pass on the pearls.
2023 was
that's what I believe that I've ever made we'll see
in my life. I learned lessons that
basically the emeralds and the pearls, they'll be passed on to Marion. That's pearls is what I believe we'll see for the first portrait before anything else.
The only thing is, you know what this means? My favorite rubies are going to be seen even less and less now until Christian gets married.
We never see them, so
yeah.
So
I was sharing something with Sam today that maybe that she was wearing the smaller tiaras this past year because she's going to get the bigger ones now and she can't wear the smaller ones as queen too frequently. So she's trying to just get them out of the system and pass it on.
Yeah, well, hopefully she'll wear the rubies at the reception because then that will be like their last outing on a crown princess for, I don't know, 10 maybe years.
Yeah.
Now, it would be kind of interesting because Queen Ingrid used to wear them abroad. And once they started doing state visits, she can't take the pearls everywhere. So she'll have to take the rubies.
Yeah. Yes.
And also, I mean, do we know which tiaras are in the family foundation? The pearl is, but yes. all the other tiaras are Daisy's private
ownership. Yes, so yes. I think that's the kind of main one, and Mary will get the emeralds from the crown jewels.
Yes.
And the diamond necklace, which actually I'm very much looking forward to seeing the diamond necklace, but I don't think she'll wear that before she gets the floral aigrette tiara because they don't really have a diamond big tiara to wear with that massive diamond necklace.
True.
And I'd hate to see her wear it with her necklace tiara thing.
So she will have three big tiaras at her disposal. The rubies, the emeralds, and the pearls.
Yeah. Which I think is a pretty good amount. If she sticks to it, and then it's like 16 months till Isabella turns 18, so hopefully the smaller tiaras will pass on there.
Yeah, give her the necklace.
Yes, please. And I think that if Mary does decide to kind of wear the, because she can't take the emeralds out of Denmark, so it's always going to be between the rubies and the pearls, and now she's queen, she has to wear big tiaras.
Yes.
A pity there's kind of no big celebration happening for the next little while. Yeah, but no, it'll be kind of, that's one of the most positive aspects about kind of this whole decision, the abdication thing, is that Queen Margrethe is still with us. She's going to see this transition. She's going to be here to celebrate a new reign, see how everything goes. And that's something I think she very much is looking forward to as well. And she gets to relax while the younger generation take it on and do a pretty good job at it.
Yes. And I don't expect her to retire.
Yes. I think the same. But she will kind of reduce because she already has a very kind of reduced structure,
yeah.
like round official duties anyway. And I think she'll have more time for her artistic stuff now. And she'll still be queen. I think she will still see her on major occasions, maybe big state visits and stuff. Not that there's any that are going to visit Denmark now, because I think she's done most of them. But she'll still pop around for birthdays and things like that, but more or less retire. I'm interested kind of how they'll change residences, because she'll still keep her palace at Amalienborg, But Frederiksborg is the one which I'm curious about, if she'll continue to live there or will she kind of move out into the little chancellery building?
Yes, and they've been doing some building work around the chancellery.
Close enough.
Yeah, it's fine. That's it's a very
They've been doing some building work around it during the past year. And people were saying that it was for Christian and his siblings, but maybe it was for Daisy.
That is a good point.
Yeah. And I mean, Frederick took over from Queen Ingrid, who moved out of Frederiksborg, the palace itself, when her husband died. So maybe. They will do another swap.
Yeah, probably. And it's nice that in Denmark, the residences are kind of very much for life in Copenhagen, so they don't really have much to swap. And that makes it an easier transition in a sense.
Yes. And also, I mean, Frederiksborg is used for official functions and celebrations and state visits. So I would imagine that the new king and queen would need to have the use of it.
Definitely, because so many of I think they've been hosting state visits and stuff there, but they definitely hold family celebrations and things all at Frederiksborg.
But they've done state visits there. I mean,
yes, because I think the latest one was the Mexican state visit. They did that at Frederiksborg.
Mm. And they have to, and they get to write their name on the windows and everything.
Yeah, that's a very kind of interesting Danish tradition. And now that Queen Margrethe, because in the past few years, it's been very difficult for her to go on state visits and do that sort of thing. But with Frederick and Mary, we're going to see that again with the younger monarchy, there's much more kind of opportunity where they can go on the state visits. They were doing business visits in recent years, but that doesn't necessarily have the same kind of official significance as a state visit would.
No, they're boring.
They have no jewels. So this will be so much more interesting from our perspective to see kind of those state visits and have this kind of on the highest level of diplomacy that a new reign will bring.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think, Sam, we can move on to the next slide. Yes. So again, talking about state visits, we were just discussing that in the Scandinavian kind of monarchies, it is tradition to visit each other first before going further afield. So I think it's probably a safe bet to say that we'll see state visits probably to or from the other Nordic countries within the next year or so. Especially because Queen Margrethe hasn't been on a state visit to Sweden since the 80s. I guess I've been to Norway since 1992, so it's been quite a long time.
Mm.
But as we were talking before we started the recording, I do believe that the first visits will be some kind of introduction visits made by the new king and queen to their neighbors and colleagues and families in Sweden and Denmark, Sweden and Norway, and maybe even to other European monarchies.
Or they could even do like those official visits like King Harald and Queen Sonja did. If you remember in 2005, when they did the Norwegian centenary, they went to all the other, they went to, I believe they did Iceland, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, the UK, and they went on official visits. They were, I think, a day each. Each of them had a tiara gala dinner. And it was a way of celebrating the close family ties in addition to kind of, but not on the full state visit level where that would require a lot more planning and stuff like that.
That would work fine for me.
Yeah, I'd be quite happy with that. And that's kind of similar to what Harald and Sonja did when they went to Denmark last year. And they did this kind of official visit that a smaller gala. But I mean, big tiaras, same orders. That's what matters for us.
Yes.
Without having kind of the whole kind of fanfare of a state visit with the carriage rides and stuff like that. No, I think part of this new reign, it was an initial shock for us, but the way I'm seeing it, it's a very kind of nice change from tradition where we don't have to kind of mourn the passing of Queen Margrethe. She's still going to be kind of doing her artistic stuff, and she'll still be kind of a presence on the royal stage. But we're going to be, there's so many exciting changes with the new reign that not only she will be able to see, but we'll have kind of a lot more, and seeing this continuity of monarchy in without kind of much of that very sharp transition that comes with the death.
Well, personally, I believe that you wear a crown for life. And I really hope that my king of Sweden doesn't abdicate. But it's easy for me to say who doesn't have to wear the crowns. So, but that's what I believe.
Oh, yeah. No, the way kind of people are documenting this whole transition is that it's kind of a moment where she's opening the doors for the other Nordic monarchies to kind of begin the process of abdication, because King Carl has been in ill health recently. King Carl Gustav is still going strong, so I don't think there's any threat there. But yeah, they've been very resolute that they're not going to abdicate, and they're going to continue in this role until the end.
Yeah, but I was surprised it wasn't Harald, because he's not been well for a while.
Yeah. I think, and the past year, Håkon was regent kind of more times than Harald was reigning, because he's had so many illnesses and been in and out of hospital. But I think that's, again, one of those kind of transitional things where it's very difficult, because even until, I think, 2019, Queen Margrethe was making interviews and talking about how she will not abdicate, and she believes this role is for life. And she was like, I know this happens in other countries, but it's not going to happen in Denmark. So you never really know what's like that tipping point where she was like, okay, I think I have given it all I can. And at this point, it'll be better off if I retire back.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's interesting to see kind of how the traditions change.
Yes. And people are allowed to change their minds. Yeah. So, but yeah. So do you think anything special will happen tonight, or will it be business as usual?
I think from the article I've written, the only kind of surprise will be if Daisy wears the emeralds or the pearl quad tiara. That's only kind of thing guessing-wise left. Otherwise, I'm hoping we get a glimpse inside the gala. I think that would be very interesting. And a kind of very nice surprise would be Frederick, and then the three generations together at Queen Margrethe's kind of last event.
Do you think Christian will be there tonight?
Yes, that's what I think the surprise might be, that Christian might attend at the last minute, and then him in the elephant and the whole collar and everything. I think that's going to be a very kind of nice way, because he's going to be crown prince next time. So his attendance will be mandatory from now on. So I think for him to attend this last gala under Queen Margrethe is a great way for him to kind of learn on the job and see how these kind of traditions happen in real life. So I'm hoping that he will, and they just probably have not announced it, because, I mean, it's been a shock for everyone, so there's probably missed that out. And the other thing, I think nothing much in jewels, but I'm hoping we get some glimpses from inside the ceremony, because it is Queen Margrethe's last one. Maybe it's seeing like her curtsy to the assembled guests, because that's one of the kind of most significant, because I remember you saying that's a Swedish tradition, right?
Yes. At the old ceremonial opening of the Swedish parliament, which was took place for the last time in 1974.
Yes, exactly. 50 years ago on the 11th of January.
Yes, exactly. And the royal ladies, they used to curtsy three times. One time to the diplomatic corps, and one time each to two houses of parliament. And of course, when the king entered the hall, he did the same. He bowed to one time to the diplomatic corps, one time each to the two houses of parliament, and he bowed, he and the royal princess, they bowed to the royal ladies, who stood up again and curtsied. So, and Queen Ingrid brought that. She liked the idea of the monarch being paying respect to the people's representatives at least once a year.
And I think that's something that people were talking about, how they're going to miss Crown Princess Mary's deep curtsies.
I've been thinking about that, yes.
So that's going to be the one time of year when she's going to be able to kind of show that, but we probably won't see that because that's a private event.
But maybe we will have more access now during the because I mean different generations have different opinions on what's allowed to be seen and not be seen.
Definitely. And I think we've seen, especially with the gala they held this year for King Harald and Queen Sonia, where in the past they used to rarely let people, the cameras inside Amalienborg, but this year they did, and it's a bit kind of change, but I think they are kind of changing their ways in subtle kind of strategies and trying to be more in tune with what the public want.
But have we seen parts of the New Year's banquet since 1970? When was the documentary? 1974?
Yes, that was 74. And I think we saw it once in the 90s in this documentary that's no longer on YouTube. But I remember that was actually pretty behind the scenes footage because there was Princess Alexandra and Queen Ingrid and Princess Elizabeth, and they were at the New Year's stuff. So I remember that very well. But that was, I think they just shared the kind of the royals arriving inside the palace, but not of the banquet itself. So they showed the decorations, but not of the actual ceremony, like the speeches and stuff like that.
Yes, and you see them leaving, I think. And Prince Henrik, he says goodbye to Princess Elizabeth, or...
Yes, I think that's... So no, I think, the last kind of glimpse we saw inside. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the new reign takes things. And I'm sure we've seen Frederick and Mary have had a very increased role in recent years. Queen Margrethe's kind of largely absent from state visits and foreign visits and stuff like that, and they've been taken over. So I think we'll see more of that, but with their kind of mark on it.
It's going to be, although I don't like the idea of an abdication, it's going to be very exciting to follow all the things that happened. And I think that we can expect, for instance, I mean, they will be touring Denmark all year, probably.
Probably, and Greenland and the Faroe Islands as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to have a very busy year.
Yes, they will.
It's good that there are no big celebrations going on anywhere else in Europe, because they won't have time.
Exactly. Now, it'll be very kind of interesting to follow, because we were just kind of lamenting about this recently, that there's kind of no big event happening for the next couple of years, and this kind of gives us a lot to talk about.
Yes, yes.
And we'll have much more to talk about in 2 weeks after you and Sam go see the ceremony in person.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going to be very, very exciting.
We look forward to kind of hearing your thoughts about what all happened on that day.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm very happy that it's on a Sunday.
Yes, so am I.
Although that will probably mean that there will be so many people.
Yeah.
The crowd is going to be massive.
Yeah. It'll be a historic day for sure.
Yes. And I'm wondering, because you can see in the footage from 1972 how the whole square outside Christiansborg Palace it's completely full of people. But now they have new security Yeah. So I wonder if we will be allowed, if we will be allowed all the way up to the palace, or if we will be kept further away.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, can't wait to bring you back a full report.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jacob, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I look forward to speaking to you soon.